go ahead and invite Dave to come up. I think it's always helpful, as you're going to be hearing from Dave, you know, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. It's just helpful to get to know him a little bit better before he jumps into the first message tonight. So my goal here is to just interview him, ask him some general questions so you can better understand, better know who he is. Good. So, Dave, how about just a quick thumbnail sketch of what life looked like for you growing up? Like, where were you born, raised? How did you come to faith? Kind of just thumbnail of the early years of Dave Keene.
Yeah. So, guys, it's a pleasure to be here. I grew up outside Chicago, northwest suburbs. My life was really dominated by sports. If there was a ball involved, I was there. So I played football, basketball, baseball in high school. Really was probably my functional god. I loved to play sports. I started playing travel baseball when I was 12. That summer, I think I played 144 baseball games one summer, right? Played football all through high school and played football in college. When I was 16 years old, I was invited to a Young Life camp. Heard the gospel there, repented of my sins, and trusted in Christ. At that point, I was a good kid, and I thought, you know, the religion of the Midwest is if you're a good kid, you're good. And I realized I was not good. I was a sinner and needed a Savior. God graciously gave me faith and repented of my sins and trusted in Him. Then went on to play football, University of Pennsylvania. It was probably not until I was 20 where I really took my faith kind of seriously, even though I was a Christian. At 20 years old, I said, I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm going to committed to memory, and that transformed my life.
Okay, and you decided to go to school in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And you decided to study intellectual history. Just feel, I mean,
yeah,
I
give us a lot. Intellectual history, what is that? So I went to school, played football, and when you go to the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School of Business is kind of dangled out in front of you. So I went to Wharton, was there for 2 years, and I was failing an accounting class, true story, and the professor said, I need to get an A on every class, every test in order to pass the class. So I walked back into the computer lab, and I sat in the computer lab, and I said, the chair feels kind of funny, and out of nowhere, the chair breaks. And I went straight on my back. And then I pulled a Chris Farley and go, that's embarrassing. And nobody laughed. The fat kid just broke a chair, and nobody laughed. So I said, I'm leaving the business school, and I'm going right to the college. Sonny, those are my people. So instead of doing
filling in a lot right here.
Instead of doing a normal history degree like American history or world history, I said, let me do something different. So I decided on intellectual history, not really knowing what it was. Really, it's a study of thought over time, which has helped me tremendously in my ministry as a pastor.
Okay, so post-college, when do you meet Ellen? When does that take place? Is that after?
Yeah, so after college, I went to Washington, D.C. I wanted to teach in the inner city, so I did Teach for America in the inner city. My wife did Teach for America. She's from South Carolina. We met in D.C., became friends, and after a year started dating, then got married. Yeah.
Okay. And when does the call to ministry take place in those years?
So when I was in college, I always knew that God wanted me to be in ministry. I always felt that God wanted me to leverage my life for the gospel. I knew that my life wasn't holy enough for ministry when I was leaving college. So I said, Lord, I'm going to apply for one job, Teach for America. If I get it, I'm going to take it because I don't think I'm ready to be in ministry. If I don't, I'll go to ministry. And God graciously gave me that call to be a teacher. And after 3 years, the Lord cleaned my life up. I got married and started living truly for the Lord in all areas. And went into FCA, the FCA ministry in Washington, D.C. for 2 years. And then while I was there, I started falling in love with the local church. My whole life was parachurch to that point. So parachurch was my thing. The church was fine. But the parachurch was where I thought I really saw discipleship and evangelism. And it wasn't until I was 25 when I saw it actually happening in the local church that made me want to be a pastor.
Did you have a negative orientation to the local church when you were doing parachurch, or was it just that's what you had gotten involved in? You knew that they were missions, outreach, interacting with people, but didn't have a negative orientation on the church? Did you feel like the church was dead and dying and not on mission?
Well, I was raised Lutheran, liberal Lutheran, so I always knew that you should go to church. The church was important. But I never saw evangelism and discipleship in the local church in my context. So I wouldn't say I'm negative to a local church in terms of I spoke negatively about it. But when I saw real ministry happening, I saw outside of the church in parachurch ministries.
Okay. So then Capitol Hill must have been significant.
Yeah, I landed at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, and that was kind of where I understood theology, understood ecclesiology, kind of transformed my life. And,
people don't know Capitol Hill. They
so
don't know Capitol
Hill. Capitol
Hill
Baptist Church is a church in Washington, D.C. Pastor is Mark Dever, and his kind of mission is to help the strengthen local churches all across the world. When I first met him, I had no idea who he was. He invited me out to lunch, and you know, I'm like, okay, let's grab lunch. And I went back and did my research. I'm like, oh, this is a big deal, right? So we met for a couple of years. He would disciple me. And really there, I started learning the centrality of God's plan to reach the nations is the local church. The church is the means and ends of missions. So,
okay, so now it's fascinating. Now you're in D.C. You're on mission. You're in a great local church. You're married.
Yep.
You're happy. It's a busy place. You're a busy guy. You like action, activity.
Yep.
Then you decide to move to Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, guys, we are here this week to be fully transparent. So, and I was married. My first baby came, and my wife struggled with postpartum depression after my baby was born. And it would kind of expose during that time that, man, I really wasn't caring well for her, right? I knew that I needed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I just didn't functionally know how to do that based on my upbringing, right? I never saw that in my home growing up. So the elders of my church said, hey, it would be great, wise for you to step out of ministry for a season to really learn how to care and love your wife. And I'm gracious that we did that. Part of that process was learning that my wife was not fit for, you know, the Northeast pace. She's a small town, Southern gal. So we left DC to move south. And I was just going to be a faithful church member, try to grow in the Lord, and still care for youth at risk was kind of my life before pastor.
Okay. But then you ended up at Park Baptist Church. Transition. What was the church like when you walked into it?
So I came to Park Baptist Church. I was about to finish seminary. I prayed, Lord, give me an older, dying Baptist church near downtown Rock Hill. That was my very specific prayer request. Within 3 weeks, the Lord answered that prayer, gave me a call from Park Baptist Church. It was a dead church, had about 70 people, but hadn't seen life in years, nothing happening, no nurseries, no baptisms, no missions. It was just kind of slowly declining and about to close its doors. They said, let's go take a shot at a young pastor and just see what happens. So
they hire you. How is the church doing now? Like, how has it changed over the years? And
yeah, the Lord has just done a work. You know, went there with really nothing more than let me just preach the word of God. So we didn't really do a lot, so just preach the word of God, minister to people in the community, and God's really changed our church. Over these last years, our church has kind of grown in number. It's allowed to help plant other churches, help revitalize other churches. So I'd say now it's a healthy church, a church that had maybe a single pastor with deacons. Now it's got a plurality of pastors. It's training men, sending them out. It's just really a wonderful place to be.
And you're connected with Pillar.
Yeah,
so what do you just, yeah, in a thumbnail, let the guys know what you do for Pillar.
So full-time pastor, work part-time for Pillar, kind of overseeing the work that's happening in the U.S. and South America. And really what we want to do is we want to equip, plant, and revitalize churches all over the world, right? So my role is to help pastors think about how to do that, right? Christ Proclamation Church, Church of Hope with Jordan. We want to come alongside these brothers, and we want to help them plant and revitalize churches here in Connecticut and all over the world.
Okay, last question before we just transition. So these guys have a long work week. Friday, they drive up here. They're in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, to talk about manhood. If you had one hope for them in the 2 days, what would be what you'd hope that they'd hear? Yeah. Sometimes we have great conferences and we hear a lot of great stuff, but it's sometimes hard to put a hook to hang information on. So I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah. My hope for this weekend is that you become more like Christ. I just want you to become more like the Lord Jesus. I want you to look at him. I want you to behold him. And then I want you to become like him.
Yeah. Amen. How about a round of applause even as we start? It's good to have you here. Thank you.